Good afternoon. From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cromery. The Gold Belt Tram in downtown Juneau will remain closed for at least the next 3 weeks. That's after a tram car came to an abrupt halt at its bottom terminal last week, sending two employees to the hospital for injuries. The tram will now be closed through May 24th. The incident happened last Thursday night at about 9 p.m. According to emergency responders and Gold Belt, five employees were aboard a tram car coming down from Mount Roberts when it came to a sudden stop at the bottom terminal. Social media videos show the car swinging back and forth and employees lying on the ground as emergency responders arrived. Gold Belt and Juneau's fire chief say there were no serious injuries from the incident despite two employees being sent to the hospital. According to a social media statement, the tram staff is investigating what led to the incident and making, quote, necessary corrective measures to ensure the safety of our guests and employees, unquote. The company says it's working to refund all prepaid tickets that visitors scheduled during the closure period. The closure comes as the cruise ship tourism season begins to ramp up. The tram is a popular cruise ship visitor attraction that brings hundreds of thousands of riders up and down Mount Roberts each tourism season. Gold Belt did not respond to multiple follow-up inquiries from KTOO regarding the incident and the factors that surrounded it. Public service is nothing out of the ordinary for Scott Chambor, a longtime employee of the City and Borough of Juneau. He's worn different hats within CBJ, from chief housing officer to planning manager to his newest role as director of the Community Development Department. Last week, KTOO's Mike Lane visited with Chambor, talking about what his goals are for leading the department.
So, Scott, how did you get into this type of work? And can you tell me about your background?
Sure. Thanks. So, currently I've been with the Community Development Department for about 5 years. So there's a lot of familiarity with the specific roles and goals of the department. But I've been with City and Borough of Juneau for almost 10 years now. Really got into it because the chief housing position became available. Along with the implementation of the Housing Action Plan. So there were some real targeted housing goals that the city wanted to put into place, and I shepherded that process for about 5 years, which was really enjoyable.
What about your experience will make you a good leader for CDD?
Yeah, I think, my leadership style is collaborative and supportive of staff. So familiarity with staff, we have a great staff, everything from the inspectors through our long-term planners to our admin officers and our GIS specialists. So we have a great crew. So familiarity and continually support them will be great. And then also, that experience in the manager's office, knowing how to speak to assembly goals and to orient the department's kind of work towards that. So that will be a big strength as well.
In a nutshell, what does the Community Development Department do?
Yeah, this is always tough.
It's a big nutshell,
isn't
it?
Definitely. We've been doing a lot of interviews, so I try to get it to the elevator speech, but it's really hard to do because we do so much. Obviously, on the building side, we have the chief building official who kind of helps make sure that things meet building code in town and with the eye on health and safety. We have inspectors who are out in the field every day making sure things are done properly. We have an admin team. One of our big responsibilities is to staff and help the Planning Commission. So there's a lot of legal requirements and public notice involved with that. So we have an admin team who really helps us get us prepared for those meetings. And then on the planning side, it's everything from, daily building permits, letters of zoning compliance, lots of public questions that we receive that we take care of through our planner on call service. And then some of the exciting stuff on the long-term side is we're in the process of updating the comprehensive plan. And then we manage a series of housing programs, the Affordable Housing Fund, Accessory Dwelling Unit Grant Program, and the Manufactured Home Loan Program. So we got a pretty diverse set of activities, and keeping it all going is the goal.
And I got to tell you, through a little bit of background research, I found out that you are a big advocate for solving the housing crisis in Juneau. So how do you plan to navigate that moving forward?
Sure. I think, since we moved here in 2007, I've kind of worked on homeless and housing issues, whether it's project development or statewide policy. But Yeah, I've been excited to work at the city with the Housing Action Plan, and just to see that from where we were 10 years ago to where we are now is just night and day. The city and the assembly and the staff have figured out how to use the tools that are available to municipal government to kind of create the environment for more housing development. And so we've done public-private partnerships to get the assisted living project done out on Riverview. We've got the Affordable Housing Fund that just finished up its fifth round, so the 5 years in a row of investment into projects for affordable and workforce housing. The grant program, is kind of cutting edge. We've gotten calls about that from around the country asking us, how you implement it and how to go about it. And so I think it's great to see that the tools are in place. Right. So now it's just a matter of continuing to use them as the assembly sees fit.
If there's something else you'd like to add,
sure,
that'd be great.
I'm excited to take this role really to build off, the work that the previous director, Lawhorn, helped spur. And so right now we're in the midst of a comprehensive plan update. We have a new software, permitting software system that we implemented in January, which is going to allow us to be more efficient and to be better, for the user experience on one hand and then tracking stuff on our end. And then, like I say, the housing programs are fantastic and, people really kind of migrate to like, oh, that's a cool program. How do you get that operating?
Right.
And how do you keep it going? So
excellent.
Lots to work on here in the near future.
Well, congratulations on the position as the Director of Community Development Department at CBJ, and wish you luck.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That was KTOO's Mike Lean speaking with Scott Chambor about his new position at CBJ and his goals as Director of Community Development. Timbayanak Kwentuan features the stories, photos, and belongings of Filipino elders in Juneau. The exhibit is produced by Mana Alaska, an Alaska nonprofit dedicated to archiving Filipino-American history in Alaska. KTOO's Jamie Deep attended the exhibit's opening in Juneau and shares these voices.
I'm Vicky Lorenzo Villanueva, and I retired registered nurse at Bartlett Regional Hospital.
I am Dom Villanueva. And I'm retired in the Coast Guard and also the Postal Service. When I was stationed aboard ship, we played lots of music.
They've been waiting for you.
Guitar, harmonica, and all that stuff.
It's really an honor, and we're so blessed because among all the Filipino people here in Juneau, we were one of those who were interviewed. We are on the wall. We can't believe it. We're so happy to be a part of this.
My name is Delma Sianco, and I've been here in Juneau since 1996, and I'm married to Judge Rick Sianco. He was actually interviewed sometime in 2023, and they started this project in 2023. He was still alive then, but same year he passed on. With so many elders we have who already have passed on, and at least he was still around to say his story, and I wish they could interview more to hear other family stories as well. I am glad that Mana had this idea so that for the younger generations that they still, somehow be able to see pictures, read stories, hear stories of their parents, grandparents. And especially at this time when we have all these Gen Zs, they have different interests now. At least there is still that culture, that way of life that they can relate to by just watching this exhibit.
I'm Virginia Kelly, and I'm retired. I worked for the state for 35 years. And my mom was one of the elders. She passed away 2 years ago. Yeah. So, yeah, that was good that they interviewed her. There's a lot of things that I didn't know that she was telling them, like during the war and stuff like that. So I was not aware of everything that's happened. My kids are born here, so they don't know my upbringing. the resilience of a lot of Filipinos and my mom's legacy. That's kind of nice for them to know about that. We would like a lot of people, especially here in Juneau, to know about Filipinos. Because there's a lot, it's not about adobo or lumpia. You know, there's a lot about Filipinos. We work hard, you know. So, and we want to kind of like share our culture, not only the food. That's why I like to volunteer. I want to be part of it.
My name is Pearl Grace Pantalone, and I am the Community Engagement Director at MANA. I hope that people are inspired to talk with other people and listen, and also not be afraid to share their own stories. As we're talking with these elders, there's a lot of them that were very timid, like, oh, my story doesn't matter. Like, why are you talking to little old me? But as we like dug deeper and we like saw the struggles, the trials and tribulations they've been through, and how they've just like built their foundation off of love and connection and strength, I hope that empowers people to feel that in themselves, and share their story and know that they matter.
That was an audio postcard featuring the voices of Dom Villanueva, Vicky Villanueva, Delma Siango, Virginia Kelly, and Pearl Grace Pantalone. Tambayanat Kuantuan will be on display at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center until May 30th. Additional interviews and stories of elders not featured in the exhibit are on MANA's website. You can also learn more about Filipino history in Juneau by listening to KTOO's podcast, Magkukwento. And a confidential informant is suing the State Public Safety Department, two Alaska State Troopers, and the A&E Television Network. The woman says the defendants compromised her safety by filming an arrest without her consent. The woman, identified in court filings as Jane Doe, says she received death threats after information she provided led to an arrest that was filmed and later aired on the Alaska State Troopers reality show. The Alaska Beacon reports that the woman's attorney declined to comment on the case and said he plans to file a motion to make the case confidential for her safety. In court filings, her attorney argued that the defendants had a duty to protect her from harm and that they exploited her for profit or personal gain. The television show follows troopers in the Matanuska-Susitna Valley, Fairbanks, Western Alaska, and Valdez in 2025. You're listening to KTOO. For more news, go to ktoo.org, and thank you for tuning in.